the reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. He's Todd Vandenberg, I'm Rob Steele, and we're going to talk about a movie that you've probably seen. I'm just guessing from the amount of money this movie has made in its 2 weeks. So I think if you've been to a movie in the past 2 weeks, you went to go see Avengers Endgame. Because, probably. I mean, my sisters, who can't stand comic books, went to see this movie. That's a hint, I think. I'm taking it as a hint. So Avengers Endgame made, what, $2 billion already, and it's in, what, week two?
You're listening to this, it's entering its third week, and by the time you're listening to this, it should have passed Avatar as the top movie of all time, which is kind of crazy for a movie that's been out for, at this point, just entering its third week. And
ridiculous.
It's odd. Like you mentioned, people have seen this movie that aren't into comic book movies. And I didn't read the article because the headline was so stupid, but apparently someone was complaining that you had to know the Marvel movies to understand this. It's like, okay, it's a sequel to a movie that just came out a while ago. At the very least, you don't have to have seen all the Marvel movies to understand what's going on, although it helps.
It helps.
But you should see a few key films, probably half a dozen. Please at least have seen Infinity War. This is a direct sequel. Why are you going to see this movie if you haven't seen Infinity War? I don't understand the mob concept. I have to see this. Everyone's seen it. Like, try to work in a basic understanding of how movies work. It's a freaking sequel. So this headline was complaining that there should have been more to it because you had to like comic book movies to like this. Oh, really? It's a comic book movie. People are strange. That's all I got to say.
So, but it'll be on that list of top 75 movies of the decade that we talked about on Sunday or Friday or Monday or earlier this week. Go listen to the other show.
Anyway,
Avengers Endgame. Yeah. Is it 21 or 22?
I think this is the 22nd.
Part 22 in the series, which you should have seen at least one of them by now, other than that, and gone, oh, here's a general idea of what we're talking about. Hint.
Hint.
But yeah. So I saw Endgame. And is it the best Marvel movie ever? No.
I don't think.
I want to say it was a good ending to the run that they're doing now, except it's not the end. Because they said that Spider-Man Far From Home, or I think that's what it is, that's coming out in a couple months. That is going to be the end of Marvel Phase 3 and setting up Marvel Phase 4. But I still think Endgame, even if you don't go see the Spider movie, Endgame, I think, is a good ending. And we're going to have spoilers, by the way.
Yes.
Just so you know. For example, there were a couple of things that I don't think needed to be done the way they did. I give you the prime example, Fat Thor. I don't know that. I mean, fine. Finding him drunk, I get. I really do. But drunk, fat, introspective, whiny Thor. I don't think that was necessary. Do you?
I wouldn't say it was necessary, but I think it. I liked it because that does happen to people who get depressed. A lot of actual depictions of Thor.
Well, I mean, I get it.
He has some girth to him. So I like that they went, because again, Marvel is all about balancing the tragedy with the comedy. And this is a running joke in the movie, basically. They don't, just the fact that he exists as fat, drunk Thor makes, again, makes things a little lighter because, dude, Thor doesn't have a dad bod. He's fat. He has a huge beer gut.
I think this is actually a brilliant thing in the sense that women all over the world, including my wife, have wanted their man to have a Chris Hemsworth body, and now I do.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it's a play on that too. I mean, it's a play on those expectations of you know, check out his body, he's like amazing, and then here he is. That's part of it. I thought it was really, really smart because Thor obviously is going through depression because basically he blames himself, and he's not the only one, but he blames himself for half of the universe's sentient life disappearing. And he's right. in that extent. So yeah, he should be depressed. And it makes sense that this is what happened to him. That he just does. Wants to absolve himself of responsibility, and he just wants to sit around and drink and get fat.
I think they just overdid it a bit.
No, you know, I'm down with that.
Went a little too far with their sight gag. Let's see, I'm trying to think if I have any other actual complaints about the movie, and I don't know that I do. Mm. Their concept of time travel, I think, is a bit wonky, but it's time travel. It's gonna be wonky no matter what you do with it. Yeah. Wibbly wobbly, exactly. Timey wimey. It gets weird. So there's that. They undid the snap. Everybody came back. I have heard some odd complaints and rumblings about how apparently when Spider-Man came back and he went back to school, all of his classmates were the same age. Apparently just his school got snapped. You know what? Fine. It makes for an interesting continuity thing.
Were they all the same age?
Well, his buddy was, and Mary Jane was.
Okay, so... And I'm not saying that you're making the statement that people would say stuff like that. And it's like, did you really identify every single actor that was in the first movie and say, oh, they're all there? It's like, two of the main characters were.
I think that's the thing, is we're going to find out Flash Thompson wasn't snapped, and now he's older and he can become Venom or whatever.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's comments like that is like, no, you're wrong. You're just basing on the fact that you saw a couple characters are still there. It's like, gee, a couple characters were still there that we know in to begin with. So it's these complaints which are drawn on false assumptions, which are silly. I mean, I understand complaining about the movie. Like, my daughter had several complaints. Basically, she said she liked the good parts a lot. she was, and I agree with her, is like, we didn't really get an explanation for why Hulk wouldn't show up in Infinity War. We got kind of we worked things out. But in a 3-hour and 2-minute film, they could have had time to like lay it out for us exactly what was going on.
Added an extra minute to the movie? No, it's too long as it is.
Yeah. And there were some scenes like Hulk sitting down in the diner having the conversation. It's a breather moment. And, you know, it's entertaining. I'm not saying it's not worth it, but that would have been a good time to have a full explanation of what was going on. Would have been nice. Doesn't really have to be there, but it would have been nice. You know, there are a few moments.
I could have done with that rather than the kids coming up. Can we have a selfie with you?
Right, exactly. Which was fun, and no one knew who Ant-Man was. I get that. That's cool. But, you know, still, I would have rather had the explanation. But again, it's all nitpicking. It's like, I agree with you. To me, it's not the best Marvel film. But it's certainly one of the better films. And again, like Infinity War, when you think of what they had to do, again, all these character arcs are going through, and people were complaining they didn't show enough of how people dealt with the world, you know, 5 years on. And is that the story?
I think that's coming in the Spider-Man movie, actually.
Could be, which is probably why Feige said that's the real ending of the arc of Phase 3. But that wasn't the story. The story is not about how the world deals with it. The story is with how the heroes deal with it. And we got that. We got the moment of Cap in his group session. And I can't remember now if it was Joe. I think it was Joe Russo who played the character talking about how it was like, you know, I'm still getting over the loss of my husband, blah, blah, blah. Husband or significant other. I don't remember which it was. And some people are complaining about that they had, you know, this gay character, but it wasn't a major character. It's like, it's just a person. It doesn't have to be, oh my gosh, they revealed that Cap and Bucky were lovers. It's like, just stop with this crap.
Yeah, that's, I don't understand the, unless the character is actively dating someone, like, you know, Tony Stark and Pepper Potts, they're a couple. I get that. Rhodey, War Machine, he can be gay if you want to. I don't recall there being a romantic storyline with him.
Right.
And I didn't care. You know, if there's going to be an active romance, then you can go into the character's sexuality. If there is not, who cares?
It's just padding. I guess enough of the flaws. So what was right with the movie? Like a ton of things to me were right with the movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez, where to start? Because there's so much movie in that movie.
The time travel.
That they did the Bruce Banner Hulk thing with the you know, finally merged body. They kind of glossed over the storyline that they did used in the books for that with, which if I recall correctly, was written by Peter David, which was excellent. And I recommend finding it. Just not the one in my room. just saying.
But it was great. It was great to have Professor Hulk. That character. Right.
I think it's a good idea. Bringing back Spider-Man and everybody. Well, bringing back everybody you had to do.
Yeah.
And the way they did it was not quite as convoluted as it was expected. Let's go ahead and talk about this bit. The deaths that happened that seemed to be sticking with us.
Right.
I think they did those right.
I think they did too.
Although it is going to throw a kink in the Black Widow movie.
Possibly, although I would hope, and someone else had written this, so whoever wrote that, I'm sure a thousand people have written this. I hope we finally find out what happened in Budapest. Hope that's what
the Black Widow
movie is about. So, because we've heard about it forever. So ever since Hawkeye showed up, which is a long time ago. So yeah, please it doesn't have necessarily the whole thing have to be in Budapest, but part of the movie has to be Budapest. And the Black Widow movie pretty much is going to have to be, either it's going to have to be a prequel or it's going to have to be in an alternate timeline, because alternate timelines, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to throw in one of the complaints, which is silly again. People are complaining about Cap and his alternate timeline. It doesn't make sense. If you remember, in Infinity War, Doctor Strange said he went to 1 million, over a million possible futures. Right there, they told you there are alternate timelines. Did you not notice that? So, yes, there are a lot of alternate timelines. So they can do any movie they want to. They've established that in the movie before.
Well, actually, I can throw another thing into that. It doesn't have to be an alternate timeline. There can be two Caps existing at the same time. One of them is dancing with Peggy Carter and growing old, but not necessarily as Captain America, as Steve Rogers, living a nice, quiet life. Meanwhile, he's still frozen in the ice in wherever he was frozen in the ice. There can be two at the same time. There isn't, unless they, you know, the theoretical quantum, there's that word again, concept is that if the two of them met each other and touched, which they did earlier in the movie, and yes, actually there's a minor complaint I have, is that according to the actual theory, if you go back in time and meet yourself and interact with yourself in any way, the two of you will fucking explode or something like that. As long as you don't do that, it'll be fine. So if Cap doesn't meet himself doesn't go to the Arctic and dig down to his plane to dig himself out, he'll be fine. It's the part where he fought himself in the hallway where you kind of go, there was a complaint that I had forgotten about until just now. But
We'll see. We'll see if we get more Chris Evans in the movies. I mean, his contract is up, which is why they did one of the reasons why they did what they did at the end of Endgame. But that doesn't mean he can't sign a new contract.
Yeah, he'll be the Human Torch when they bring the Fantastic Four in.
Please don't do that. Please, no.
I hope I'm kidding.
Yeah. Oh my God, they won't do that. But when Spidey comes back, reunites, huge moment, because in Spidey Homecoming, Tony didn't, no hugs, and then he was reluctant to hug him in the Infinity War, and then boom. And he initiated it in this one. But yeah, as far as the deaths, it sucks that so far, at least, Loki hasn't come back. Heimdall didn't come back, mainly because Heimdall was so gravely underused in the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Strictly because of who played him. So if it had been just some random actors, okay.
If it had been Steve from Accounts, we wouldn't have cared nearly as much.
Yeah, exactly. But there were so many big, big moments where the audience just went nuts, which you don't typically see that. I haven't seen that in a long time. And there were a lot of them in this movie.
Actually, I was thinking, didn't Loki escape? Now, bear with me. I've only seen the movie the one time. When they went back in time and Loki ended up getting the cube and partially escaped.
You know, now that you say that, I can't remember if he did, but then...
That would set up his TV series.
Yeah, it would set up his TV series. But again, different timeline, because we know he got killed in Infinity War.
That is true.
If indeed that was really Loki, because Loki's a shifty fellow.
That is true. So there's that. Paul Bettany. Did you notice Paul Bettany's, I'm going to call it a cameo, as Jarvis? And he was actually, I mean, he was well disguised, I thought. Because in the books, Jarvis was not a computer program. Jarvis was essentially the Avengers butler. But he was it kind of like Alfred in Batman. But they they decided in the movie version that he would be based on the butler that Howard Stark had. So when we see Howard Stark get picked up in the movie, yes, Howard Stark is in the movie, for both of you who haven't seen it yet. He's picked up by his butler, who was played by Paul Bettany.
It's not Paul Bettany.
Are you sure it's not Paul Bettany?
I'm positive it's not Paul Bettany. I can't recall the name of the actor, but he played Jarvis in the Agent Carter TV series.
He looked and sounded like Paul
Bettany. He does. One of the reasons they cast him. But it is not Paul Bettany.
Really? Like I said, only seen it the one time, so bear with me.
James Darcy. And he does look like Bettany, and he does sound like him. But which is what one of the cool things is, they tied in Agent Carter, which Peggy Carter does show up in Endgame a couple times also, which is very cool. Which again, that brought up some of the things. It's like, why blah blah blah? What with the time frame? Why would she still have a picture of Steve on her desk at her office if she's already married? So again, maybe in the timeline,
well, for the same reason that people have, you know, pictures of Paulina Porizkova.
Oh, do they?
I guess. I don't know. That is the first supermodel name that ran it through my head. Make of that what you wish.
Do they still have pictures of Paulina Porizkova on their wall, on their office desk?
I did until she married Rick Ocasek, and then I went, oh, she's got bad taste.
Wow. True. Anyway, favorite moment in the film to you? You have a favorite moment that stands out.
Oh, good Lord.
While you're thinking, my favorite moment is not when Cap picks up the hammer. It's when he runs towards Thanos and he's swinging the hammer. He's twirling the hammer, just like Thor, because, of course, Captain America would know exactly. Well, he's seen Thor. He's worked with him. He's a friend from work. So, of course, he would know how to use it. But that was just like, I get chills just thinking about it. That was an awesome, awesome moment.
That was followed easily by several other. I think the best jaw-dropping moment of the movie.
Yeah.
And actually, you did steal it. I was like, should I mention this? We've done enough spoilers as it is. No, apparently we will. Yeah, that I think when we realize, the hammer comes flying from off screen, and we kind of go, hang on a minute, where'd that come from? And, you know, everyone looks over and go, oh, look, Cap is holding it. And you kind of go, yeah, I get that. That was awesome.
That was an awesome moment. That's one of these things. I've been waiting years for this. Not 11 years, but like decades. And a friend from work was talking about this, because in Ultron, everyone's trying to pick up the hammer. Nothing happens. Steve goes for it, and he nudges it, and Thor gets this nervous look. And she said, I think he could have picked it up, but he just knew that it would mess up Thor, so he didn't. And which is brilliant. And I don't remember which of the Russos said, but one of the Russos confirmed that. They said that as far as they're concerned, that was exactly what would have happened, that he could have picked it up then, but he knew Thor would have been all wonky about it, so he didn't. That he's always been able to, which makes sense. Another favorite moment is Thanos lays the beat down on Cap, even though Cap has the shield and the hammer, and Thanos breaks the shield. And Cap gets up, and he's ready to face off the whole army anyway. And then, of course, cool things happen, but that moment where Cap is going to go back and fight again by himself is like, that's Cap.
Actually, I think one thing that they should have done a little bit better, because it took me a while to realize who that was. Wasn't it the Nova Corps that showed up at the end?
I'm not sure.
When everybody came through the wormholes and stuff. I think some of those ships that came through were Nova Corps ships.
That would make sense.
Having a screenshot of even John C. Reilly in the Nova Corps outfit. You know, so we can go, oh, it's them, you know.
One of the reasons we have to watch the movie again, because so many things are happening so quickly.
Actually, you know, someone I'm kind of disappointed they didn't bring back, because it would have made sense, kind of, is finding a way to bring Quicksilver back.
I would have really liked that because I really liked the character.
Quicksilver and Vision.
Yeah, and Vision, it'd be interesting if they can bring him back because he was a construct. Now, of course, they used one of the Infinity Stones to do him, make him, but maybe they can find another power source.
Or
because of WandaVision.
Exactly. Yeah, the WandaVision series is coming, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense that it's set in the 50s. Pardon? I've heard it's set in the 50s, but I've heard something that sounds more realistic in that it's going to be like a 50s TV show, which as a style doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it makes more sense than setting it in the 50s.
Right. I think it's much more of that style as opposed to set in the 50s, because set in the 50s doesn't make sense regardless of timelines. Right. But I can totally see it like that. I love the fact that they're calling it WandaVision.
It actually worries me that they called it that a little bit, but you know what? That's fine. Anyway, we've rambled enough, I think, just to give a general overview of the movie. Worth seeing?
Oh, definitely.
You have to say yes. I think when I was growing up, the big movie that everyone had to see was Return of the Jedi, actually. Not so much The Empire Strikes Back. You had to see Return of the Jedi because that was the last of the series. Everyone has to go see this movie and find out how everything turns out. And that's the way this movie is for this generation. I mean, it's not a trilogy. It's a... Okay, 20 is a dodecahedron. What the hell is a 22? It's a 22... It's a 22-part story. This is the culmination of it. And you have to go see that. Even if you haven't seen the other ones, you just kind of have to go... It's been around this much. Maybe I should see what some of the fuss is about, you know.
But please watch Infinity War first, because otherwise...
Otherwise, you'll be absolutely lost.
Realistically, you should see the first films of the major characters. You should see Civil War. You don't really need to see the Avengers, although it would help. But the one movie you can really skip... of the more recent movies is Captain Marvel, because you shouldn't skip it because it's a really good movie. But none of the events in Captain Marvel really play into this movie. You just know, oh, she's a character. That's really all you need to know. So
yeah,
again, don't skip it just because you don't need to see it for Endgame, because you really should see it. But it's not, oh my gosh, I won't know what's going on if I don't see that. Not the case.
Yeah. So, I'm going to leave you with what we pretty much always leave you with, but with a twist, because that is the end of the show. So what you really should do at this point is get out and go see Avengers Endgame, or see it again if you haven't yet. And if you haven't yet, what's wrong with you? Even I've gone to see this.